As I speak to you now, I'm standing outside one of the nation's most historic hotels. It was built in 1883, and if I walk in through these grand doors into the ballroom, I can see down the other end of the corridor of the foyer, I'll be entering a whole different world, because since 1883, this hotel has been serving afternoon tea every day. And I'm going to meet my first date. I've never met her before for afternoon tea. I've done the best I can with the clothes I have available, and she's going to show me how to enjoy what she calls high tea with a sip of manners. Let's meet Miss Chrissy. Miss Chrissy, I presume. It would be. Hello.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Welcome to our humble abode.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you as well.
I love what you've done with the place.
I know. We just sort of whipped it up this morning. It's nice, isn't it?
It is.
It's very homely.
Miss Chrissy, would you like to just describe to everyone what you're wearing for high tea?
Well, I'm wearing an original 1950s pale chiffon dress. It's got lace inlay through it. And this would be circa probably 1954. And I'm wearing a traditional original cotton rope petticoat underneath my pantyhose. And I am wearing some original pumps as well. Finished nicely with gloves and a wonderful hairdo. Can I introduce
Hello.
Miss Kelly?
I'll do it this way because I'm... Hello, Miss Kelly.
And Miss Rachel.
Hello, Miss Rachel.
Hello, lovely to meet you.
Same to you. Thank you very much. And you're both dressed so beautifully.
Thank you very much.
And what constitutes afternoon tea? What's a royal tea and what's a high tea?
Well, commercially, we know it is high tea now, but that's something we can thank the Americans for, because they sort of thought that high tea sounded a little bit more fancy, so we're going to make that the upper class or the upper echelon of tea. In actual fact, the more genteel and the more reserved for the aristocracy was afternoon tea, and it was served at low tables, and it was served in the waiting rooms or in the boudoirs of the ladies-in-waiting. So that is the real specialty, if you like. And high tea was reserved for the working class. The working class would come home quite mundane, quite drab, and they would be quite tired. They would sit down at high tables and they'd slop down their meat and bread and a cup of tea. And it was called meat tea or high tea. So that's actually reserved for the working class.
And that would have been like an early dinner.
Exactly. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they would have that just as they got home from work.
Okay. So today you are delivering...
I am delivering... Believe it or not, it is an afternoon tea, but it's been, bearing in mind the commerciality of it, and we would like to get out to people who don't know the difference between the two. So they hear high tea, and they think it's really swish. So that's been advertised as high tea with a sip of manners.
Miss Rachel, can I come to you? Because I'd like to talk about the history of some of the ingredients that go into afternoon or high tea, and a bloke called Sandwich.
Yes, his name is John Montague. And he was very famous. He was a very popular gambler. And during his long hours at the table, he hadn't time to take any meals. So he would ask his servants to bring him a slice of meat between two pieces of bread. And this became very popular. His friends knew all about it. And his colleagues would then also say, oh, I'll have what Sandwich is having, which then later became, I'll have a sandwich, as he was, of course, the Earl of Sandwich. So, yes, that he's had a profound influence on many of our eating habits today.
Picture you upon my knee, tea for two and two for tea, me for you and you for me alone.
Well, I'm pretending there's only one woman in this room, even though I'm surrounded by four beautiful women. Miss Chrissy, you were my initial date, my rendezvous today. If I was going to escort you to a table ready for afternoon tea or high tea, what should I be doing?
Well, I would be standing this side, and if you just offer your hand like this...
Like that?
..and I would put my hand over the top of yours, that would be the most genteel, probably authentic and original way. Today, it would be something a little bit more relaxed, whereas I can... And this is a little bit more familiar.
It
whereas
is.
Whereas I've actually hooked my arm into yours, and you've brought it into just under your breastbone.
Yes.
And you're hugging me tight.
Yes.
So to speak.
Yes.
I hope you're not married, are you?
Used to be, not anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, we're fine then.
Okay, great. All right.
Then you would lead and I will follow. So where you may lead, I may follow.
All right.
As long as it's to that table over there.
See, this is where men think they have all the choice in the world and they so don't. All right, let's go over to the table you've just specified, and this would be your chair.
This would be my chair.
So as we talk and
I would move to the table and you would stand behind the chair. I would then grab my petticoat and my dress, because fear of crushing, I would open it up, move on in, and you would shuffle the chair. That's it, perfectly like that. And if you wanted to take it to the next level, you would come and you would put my napkin over my lap.
Oh, really? Not the waiting staff?
Today it's reserved for the waiting staff, but if there's a familiarity between two people,
yes,
then you might be able to do that for me as well.
Oh, let me do that. After all, I've just had you on my arm. So would I come to lay the napkin from the left or the right?
From the left.
From the left. Okay. I'm learning how to have high tea with a sip of manners. And I must say, when we talk about tea in this hotel, this historic hotel, and it has been serving since 1883, they should have it right by now. What do we have in the triple tier of delight?
It's a three-tiered. It's silver with beautiful, beautiful silver inlay plates, I must say. Very, very... I wouldn't be surprised if these are all quite original.
We've got the scones are vanilla scones served with double cream and Southern Thailand strawberry preserve, which sounds absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful.
And then we have homemade meat pies and traditional petite savoury pastries. And then on the display table, there'll be an assortment of Windsor tea pastries, cakes, tarts and slices, all served with freshly brewed coffee and tea.
Sounds delightful. And when we begin to engage with this food in this manner, would we start from the top tier and work down, or is there any particular plan of attack?
Well, I would suggest that you started with the savoury courses and work towards the sweets.
So what we might show you is how to actually hold your teacup. That's another
Please.
Thing that we'll
yes.
be teaching today.
Okay, now I'd like to pick up your... now, rearrange the table slightly. If you'd like to pick up your teacup.
Like this?
You've done that beautifully, yes. So the first finger, the index finger, goes into the handle, up to the first knuckle, with the thumb balancing it on the top, and the little fingers curl back towards the wrist. That's absolutely perfect.
Not sticking out.
We do not have our pinky finger sticking out. That's considered most rude in polite company. There are a couple of myths as to where that came from. Many people think that it was to balance the cup, and other people think that it's to stop you burning your little finger against the hot cup. But, of course, both of those are not true. So that you're holding that absolutely beautifully. But it is not quite straight, and you are in danger of spilling it. That's
Thank you. Now, if I was, and I will, add milk to my cup of tea,
yes?
Would I add milk after pouring the tea or before pouring the tea?
Okay, so they used to pour the milk in first, if you were to have milk. They would pour it in first, mainly because all the china was made of bone china and it needed any kind of heat or a shock heat would crack it. Mm. So they would put the milk in to cool it and then put the tea in. Today, obviously, with our china today or our crockery today, we don't actually need to do that. So we can pour the milk in afterwards if you wish to take milk, and that will determine the colour and the strength of your tea. A lot of the tea that today, though, we have such amazing array of tea, it's really good to try your cup of tea without the milk.
Oh, okay.
Just because you can really taste the aromas and the flavours and the textures, the subtleness about the different flavours that are in it. You can't taste it when you mask it with milk and sugar. The reason they used to mask the tea with milk and sugar was that the tea was so bitter, and so and today we do the same. If you were to spill anything in your saucer, you would definitely not lift your saucer up and slurp from that like a little kitten. You wouldn't sip from a spoon. They're the things that you don't do. One thing that you do is when you're taking your tea, look at the cup, look at the tea that you're drinking. Don't look around the room because you might miss your mouth and then you'll spill tea all down the front of your beautiful frock or your lovely sports coat.
Okay, thank you very much for that tip. Now, I haven't served myself any food yet, and yet I see neither of you have started to eat. So should I wait until I see you partake and then I may?
No.
What would normally happen is the hostess, either somebody in their private house or whoever had organised the afternoon tea, would serve the lady to her immediate right first, and then she would serve all of the ladies in a clockwise direction, and then she would serve the gentleman. And then once she'd started eating, everybody else would be able to help themselves to the food. So that would be the protocol for a traditional afternoon tea. So you're free to help yourself to whatever it is you like.
Well, thank you very much. I will. I might try some sandwiches. These rules and intricacies are things that I've never actually sat down and thought about in such a cogent way before. But really, we should all be doing this anyway, whether we want to follow this level of deportment and etiquette or not.
If you don't think too much about it, if we do just go back to a little bit of the simplify, I guess, it's respect. It is the courtesy of waiting until you're finished your mouthful before asking your question. So my respect for you, Michael, is that I don't want to put you in that uncomfortable position, so I'm not going to engage in a conversation with you.
I think, again, going back to what Chrissy said, it's an appreciation of the food as well. We live in such a high-flying, fast-paced world these days. Food is something that's bolted down between other things. And what we try and encourage people to think about is that food is us time. It's a celebration. Yes, it's a meal. Yes, it's something we're eating. But it's also an experience. It's time that you and I are spending, and it's quality time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have afternoon tea with you.
Shall we sit and finish with the sweets now?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Oh, honey, picture me upon your knee with tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you for me alone.
She's a teacher of etiquette and deportment. Her name is Chrissy Keep-Pence, and her offsider was Miss Rachel. And I now know what to do with my pinky finger in polite company. And isn't that a relief? And that's it for RN First Bite for this week. You can stream or download the program from the Radio National website, and we'll be back at the same time next week here on RN. RN First Bite is produced by Maria Tickle, technical assistance from Chris Lawson. My name's Michael McKenzie.